being here this morning. Amen. And being part of what God is doing. Not wanting to do, but what God is doing as we all take our place. Amen. I don't know about you, but my life is consumed in what God is doing and what God wants to do. My life is consumed with it. As at one time, my life was consumed in what the enemy was doing in my life. And I believe that's why Jesus says, he gives two temperatures, hot or cold. I think we have two temperature type of people here this morning. You were once cold for the Lord and hot for the enemy. But through God's grace today, we're cold for the work of the enemy and hot for what Jesus has for our lives. We got to be all in. It's a good time to be all in the things of the Lord, no matter what you might be going through. What God wants to do is so much greater than what you're going through. So much greater. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited here this morning. Some good praise and worship. We had a beautiful hallelujah night last night. Amen. For all the kids and the grown kids. Amen. But a real positive, powerful time. Amen. I want to thank everybody that had anything to do with it. Even if you just showed up, you had something to do with it last night. Amen. So we want to thank you. And I want to thank all the workers that worked really hard in preparing, amen, a safe environment, a safe place for the children to come in, amen, and to really enjoy themselves, to really enjoy themselves. I was tripping because all the kids were up here. And little Graceland was one of them, right? And she young. How old is Graceland? 3 years old. And it was getting real loud. Like, she was all happy with her little, it was, and it kept getting louder and louder. And then I said, she's getting broken in right now. She's getting baptized right now. The way we do things. We don't do it quiet, amen? We don't do it quiet, amen? So anyhow, Grayson was getting baptized last night. She was like that, and then all of a sudden, everybody started laughing. She was in it, amen? For a three-year-old, that's a lot, amen? But for a three-year-old raised in the house of God and in the ministry of Victor Outreach, Jesus already speaking at three, amen? Praise the Lord, amen. I'm going to open up in a word of prayer right now. I believe the Lord is going to speak this day, and not so much on a preaching, it might go there, but in a teaching sense, amen, where I'm just going to give you some solid practical things that if you put into, amen, action, you're going to get quick results, amen. Well, my pastor always taught me when the Lord wants to do it, something, he can do it so quick. It don't take him a long time to get warmed up. Amen? He already all warmed up. Amen? He wants to do something in somebody's life here this day that you might be thinking is going to take forever, but the Lord's saying, I can do it that fast. So what I'm going to be praying for here this morning is your hearing. Amen? Is your hearing. I'm going to be praying for your hearing right now. I want you to get out of your condition right now. And I'm going to be praying for your hearing. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. Amen? In order for our hearts to change, amen, we're going to have to be focused this morning in our hearing. And this is why the Lord cannot do what He wants to do in the majority that are here this morning. Because our hearing is very easily distracted. When the word of the Lord is going forth, the Bible says, medicine to your bones. Amen? It's a distraction in the way we hear. We're hearing, we're chewing gum, we're popping candies, and I was going to say popping pills, but popping candies, amen? And we're doing this, we're doing that. Some of you girls will be checking out the nails that you have ready to go for New York and all that. And some of you will be looking at your shoes, and some of you will be shining them while you're in there. Some girls will be pulling up their stockings and distracted. While the word of God is being preached, some of you right now within your mind, you're already distracted by what's taking place in your life. Amen. So the Lord gave me this. Amen. So you can say, Pastor, you've said that a lot because the Lord's given me a lot lately. Amen. Right now, I'm going to pray for your hearing. Amen. Not that it's dirty. It's that it's distracted very easily, like one of a three-year-old. Amen. We're adults. We should be able to sit here this morning for an hour and pay close attention to the preaching of the gospel that is able to go in through your ears and get to your heart to do the work that needs to be done within your heart. Amen? Simple sense? It's from the Lord. Father, we come before you thanking you and loving you for not only being here this day, but for giving us 2 years to hear to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church this day. I pray that you bring a focus to that man, that woman, that youth member, whatever they may be going through, Lord, that you bring a focus like nothing else even matters but what is being spoken here this morning for the next hour. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and as we pay attention with our ears, you'll be at work in our hearts through your word. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. The title of this morning's message is The Four Hearts of Discipleship. I'm going to be going over a parable that is very well known, but for some of you here this morning, it'll be the very first time you've ever heard this parable. Amen? So if I'm sharing very simple things, those that already know it, I want you to still stay paying close attention. Sometimes by already knowing the scripture, we can shut our ears down and start thinking on something else, amen? And then we put our ears back on when something catches our attention. No, we need to hear every word of the Lord here this morning. The four hearts of discipleship. I chose to open up with the second verse that I used last Sunday, amen, in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We're talking about, I'm going to go into a series of not only the heart, not only of discipleship, but on how to guard our heart and the importance of guarding our heart. Amen? Scripture says, above all else, anything and everything that is taking place right now, above all else, guard your heart. It's telling us to do something here. Amen? Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. Now, have you been doing right and been doing really good? The answer is still the same. You need to continue to guard your heart. It's proven that it works. But if your actions lately, what you've been doing lately, is not something you're proud of, something that you know it is wrong, you need to learn this morning how to guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. It's important. The message is very important here this morning. As we go to the parable, Matthew 13, verse 9. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. And the Bible reads, "He who has ears." How many got ears here this morning? Some of you might be hard of hearing, literally, physically hard of hearing, and some of you are just hard of hearing. A lot of times we can be hard of hearing because our heart ain't right. And God's gospel, God's language ain't appealing to us. So it allows us to be hard of hearing. Amen? I'm going to read it again. Verse 9. He who has ears, plural, ears, amen? How many only has one ear? Raise your hand. He who has ears, let him hear. I mean, a lot of times we can, one ear's open to what the enemy has to say and the other one's open to what the Lord has to say. Amen? And I believe here this morning that both ears are for what the Lord has to say. Amen? I'm going to read the parable now in 13, and we're going to pick up at verse 1 all the way down to verse 9. I want you to follow along. Why? It's part of hearing. You want your heart to change? You want to learn how to guard your heart? You first got to be a good hearer, good listener. Amen? That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him. That he got in a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, there was a mega crowd. So the Lord pretty much was all in the midst of this crowd that I believe was thousands. And what he did was, it was as if he was with the crowd. They all started bunching up, and he couldn't see past the first row. They were all bunching up, and what he did was, what I'm doing right now, I'm breaking a little bit off, and he went to the water, and he got into a boat for he could have a better view of the lives that he was speaking to. For they could have, not so much that he could have a better view on them, but for they could have a better view on him. And I believe here this morning, we got to have a better view in who Jesus is. And the reason that at times it's hard for us to have a great view of what Jesus is wanting to do in our lives is because we have hardened hearts. Hearts full of sin that allow it, your life to be hindered, your eyes and your ears to see what he's doing, to hear what he's saying, to be hindered. So Jesus wanted them to get a good view of him, to be able to hear his word clearly. And I believe that's what he's wanting to do here this morning within his presence. To speak through the ears into the hearts of his people. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. How does faith come? By hearing. But if you're not careful, very quickly you can become distracted where you're still hearing my voice, but you ain't listening. And you're allowing someone else or something to take over the voice of the Lord here this morning for your life, wanting to bring fresh direction, victory in your life. How many wants victory in their life? Amen. Disciples are good listeners. You don't have to be in the church for 10 years to be a good listener. I came fresh out of prison, and in the first service, I sat in the back row, and I was attentive to my listening, to what was being preached. It was something new. It was something different, something that the Lord had already been stirring my heart about while I was still in prison. But now I was hearing it come through a man. And I was a focused listener the very first service, fresh out of the prison. See, some of you got a Lord speaking right now, amen? Whether you want victory or you want to continue to live a defeated life in the church, a defeated life as a Christian. It's one thing to be defeated, lost and bound. It's another thing to be defeated in Jesus, because there ain't no defeat in the name of Jesus. It's up to, are you going to listen this morning? Listen to the place and to the point where you want to listen so closely because you want to do it. We're going to go through this parable here this morning. And I know the Lord is speaking right now. Sometimes we'll rather look at our nails, even go to our phone, start texting back and forth, look what's on Facebook while the word of the Lord is going forth, and you got problems in your life. And you leave the service over and over to answer a text as if your life is on the mountaintop. I would say, I would advise you not to move a muscle, and your ears would be going like this, like a dog's ear, just like going, you know, dog's ears do all this stuff, man. They go wherever it's coming from. You guys should be like this right now. Where the pastor goes, your ears go. Wherever the pastor goes, your ears go. When a dog's just hanging out, you go, the dog's ears go right up. The problem's in our listening. Why the Lord can't get to first base with some of you guys. You come to church and get all prettied up, all dressed up, best cologne, best perfume. But you got plugged ears. And that's why your faith will be in someone or something else or on money and a job. But your faith, if you want your faith in Jesus, faith comes by hearing the word of Jesus. Some of you looking for faith blessings when your faith ain't in the Lord. It's in him. It's in her. You're thinking about him or her right now as I'm speaking. If I could only be with her, if I could only be with him. And you're trying to put a plan together that ain't of the Lord. And the reason you know it ain't of the Lord, because it's being done in secrecy. It's funny that sometimes we'll allow our ears to be in full obedience to what the enemy wants to do. Let's get on with the message. Did I ever read it all? I haven't even read it all. Where are we at? Verse 2. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. I'm sowing right now. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. That's the first type of heart, condition of heart, amen? And the birds came and ate it up. Verse 5 says, some fell on rocky places. The second condition of a type of a heart that you might have here this morning. Where it did not have much soil, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, the third type of heart, amen? Which grew up and choked the plants. Verse 8, the fourth type of a heart, the one we want to get to. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. I put here whether you have, your heart is a hardened heart this morning, whether your heart is a rocky heart, a thorny heart, or a good soil heart. I put here, we are all held accountable to what kind of heart we have. Each and every one of us are held accountable to what kind of heart we have. You might have walked in feeling you had a good soil heart until the preaching started. We're all accountable to the type of heart that we have here this morning. Along with, we're all held accountable whether we're going to guard our heart or not. It's a responsibility to the listener here this morning. Whether you're going to respond and you're going to go from that hardened heart through the process of the hearts to get to that fertile soil, that good soil, or are you just going to stay in the condition of heart that you have here this day? Each and every one of us are held accountable. Last Sunday, I spoke out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I spoke if you're going to be a discipler, because we're speaking on discipleship, that your heart cannot remain the same. We cannot continue to cuss all the time freely and tell that person mid-sentence after a cuss word that Jesus loves them. I also said last Sunday, because we come to find out that the heart is more evil than anything else, be careful who says they love you with all their heart. We got to be able to learn how to guard our hearts. And the way we learn how to guard our hearts is by listening to what's being said this day. It's by disciples and life groups at work within the church. We need to learn how to guard our hearts. We already know how to let anything and everything in our hearts and the consequences of that. But we need to learn how to guard our hearts. And if you want success within your heart, within your life, marriage, family, children, you're going to have to not only be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. You're going to have to know God's word. Too many people come into church year after year, still not knowing God's word. Without the knowledge of God's word, you will not know how to guard your heart. Real simple, good stuff being given right now. You need to ask yourself, are you reading God's word? Because if you're not, and you've been in church now for years, something is wrong why you're not reading God's word. Something is wrong within your listening. Something's wrong within your listening. To know that you're called of God, but you just can't bring it out. I would have to say something's wrong with your listening. See, a lot of times we can be in church hearing the word of God, but not to the place in being obedient to it. You got to get your hearing's got to get erect. I'm done having a hardened heart. I'm done having a stony heart. I'm done having a heart when I'm growing, I'm doing good, and the weeds come in and choke what the Lord wants to do in my life. You need to listen this morning. I put here on a side note before I came out, everything looks good on the outer surface of your hearts. I put a side note here that says we all look pretty much even on the outside this morning. It's my weird notes, amen? We pretty much all look alike this morning. We come dressed up, some more fancier than others, praise the Lord, but we're all looking good on the outside. If I was a brand new pastor, I would say, such a lovely crowd. They must all have fertile soil within their hearts by judging the book on the outside. We all look pretty much the same on the outside. But how do we look like on the inside? Do we still all look the same on the inside? And I would have to say here this morning that some have hardened hearts, stony hearts, amen, weeds within their hearts. And I would have to say, because of what the Lord's been doing, that there's a few that got fertile soil within their hearts. That's bringing the 30, 60, 100-fold within this church, within this city. Too many times we're happy enough to look good on the outside, but to be miserable on the inside. The area that God focuses in on. You're pleasing man, you're pleasing your boss. I mean, you're the best worker there. But how about when it comes to being the best worker for Jesus? Are you still at the top? Or something else taking place within your life that the outside doesn't portray? But what's taking place in your life here this morning? The good news is, if you listen all the way through the message and you receive it, God's word has a way of getting in your heart and start to go to work in the cleansing and the washing and sanctification of your heart, so that he may be able to do what he wants to do in your life, produce fruit. He wants to produce fruit in your life, in your heart. But a lot of times he can't, because everything else is taking place but his will. Verse 4, in chapter 13, we all started here with a hardened heart. It's a place where the Lord, you know, came and selected us. He selected us when we had hardened hearts. Not softened hearts, but hardened hearts. But the Lord was able to see through our struggles and hardships. And though there was a hardened heart, he says, I can soften that heart. That man, that woman, that youth member got the right heart. It's just hardened right now. But if they listen to my word and they put it into practice, that heart that is hardened is going to be softened, so that my word, which is his seed, can take root within my life. Jesus wants to take root in your heart. He wants to be permanent. He wants to take root in your heart through his word. He wants to take root in your heart through his word, through your ears here this morning. He wants to be deeply rooted. As I'm preaching, I'm using verse after verse after verse after verse right now. It's coming out. He wants his word to be deeply rooted, because we're living in end times, hard times, where he's looking for men, women, and youth that are deeply rooted by the word of Jesus, not by their job, not by their girlfriend or boyfriend, but deeply rooted by the word of the Lord, the seed of the Lord, that is meant to have roots, that is meant to have fruit. We're all held accountable to what kind of heart we have here this morning. We all start off with a hardened heart. But I want to let you know, I put here, no matter how hard your heart is, no matter how hard of a life you've lived up to this point, God's word is able to break through it. God's word is able to break through your situation here this morning. Your situation don't have to remain the same. Your situation don't have to continue to get worse and worse and worse, because the word of the God, the gospel, God's seed is falling this morning upon hearts. What type of heart do you have? In every one of these conditions of hearts, of soil, the Bible says that the word of the Lord fell upon the hardened heart. The word of the Lord fell upon the rocky heart. The word of the Lord fell upon the thorns. The word of the Lord fell upon good soil. The word of the Lord is falling here this morning on any and every condition of heart that is here this morning. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. There used to be a black brother in the Southside church saying, preaching good, talking good, talking good. And I was like, who is that cat? Talking good, talking good. The Lord's speaking right now like a machine gun. I put here, don't focus on your hardened heart this morning. In other words, don't focus in your condition this morning, but I want you to focus on your hearing this morning. Hallelujah. Focus on your hearing and what you're hearing right now. Let that be your focus. Train yourself to focus in what you're hearing right now that is of God, and remove your focus of your hardened heart, of your condition, but transfer your focus to your hearing right now. Matthew 13:19, it's where it gives the breakdown of this parable. I'm going to be jumping back and forth, amen? Speaking about the first type of heart, the hardened heart, the trodden path, different translations, amen? It gives the breakdown here in verse 19 of what was taking place within this hardened heart and why it wasn't able to have success, even though the word of the Lord was falling on it. When anyone hears, there's that hears in there, hears what? What the girlfriend has to say? What your boyfriend got to say? What the boss got to say? No, the Bible says when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. In that first type of listener, and there's some here this morning that have a hardened heart, a bad background, bad past, bad upbringing. You have a hardened heart because of everything that's taken place within your life. It was not the condition of the heart, or that this heart wasn't listening, because it says anyone who hears the message about the kingdom. You can have a hardened heart this morning and still be able to listen and focus in what's being said. It wasn't so much something wrong with the word, the message, or even the condition of the heart, but the lack of understanding of the message. It was the lack of understanding that allowed the word to fall on that heart, upon the hardened ground, amen? Praise the Lord. Lord, he probably wants all eyes here, man. I told you to keep it where I go, your ears go. You got to have ears that go like that, like a dog's. And then sometimes dogs go like this, they don't want to hear it. Because you're yelling all the time, cussing all the time.
There she goes again. There he goes again. I hate it when he cusses. Pastor told me to keep my ears up here.
Only in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. You ain't going to get it nowhere else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Got to give illustrations. I got my own parables. 2017 parables. Amen. They ain't written yet. It was not the condition or the lack of opportunity. They were able to hear. The same as the one that had fertile soil, good ground. It was not the condition of the heart, or that type of heart, that type of listener, didn't have the same opportunity. See, some of you feel pastor hangs out more with him or her and all this dumb stuff. Has nothing to do with your hearing here this day. You have opportunity, no matter what your heart is about this morning. You're able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning. It's not the condition of your heart, because I already made a point that the Word of God is able to cut through any hardened heart. It's not that you don't have the opportunity, because you got two ears here this day. Stop blaming people for your hardened heart and take ownership. One thing that your pastors don't like when you keep putting the blame on everybody else but your ears. It was not the condition of the heart or the lack of opportunity, because all of them were hearing, but the lack of understanding God's word that allowed the enemy to remove God's word. I said, how many know that whether educated or not, it's very hard to understand God's word? Education don't understand God's word, and that's where the Pharisees and Sadducees missed it all with all their education. They had hardened hearts, but yet they knew everything. But they couldn't see Jesus standing before them. Their ears weren't alert to the words of Jesus, because they thought it should have come to some other person or a smoother way. And I put here, this is why discipleship is very needed. A lot of the newcomers that come in with hardened hearts never get to second base, third base, never score, because there's not discipleship taking place from your life that today understands and what the Lord wants to do. Hardened hearts, hearing me preach once a week, that is not sufficient. For a man or a woman that's been and done what I've done, once a week is not good enough. But through the work of discipleship and through the life groups, you bringing God's word all week long allows that man, that woman, that youth member with a hardened heart to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, not only on Sunday morning, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, 24/7, in what Jesus is saying. And before you know it, the lights come on, they start understanding it. No longer is the word on the surface of the heart, but it's now taking root. Any and every seed, if it's going to produce, there needs to be roots. I don't care if you got the best marijuana seed that's up to date right now, and it's the size of a watermelon seed. It's huge. It's big. It's got the potential to produce the best marijuana. Get a few listeners catching on right now. Ears are alert. Okay, I want to know where that seed's at. Where's that? What do I do? Big old seed, man. I say, ooh, man, this is the one. This is the one. You can look at it and admire it and show it to all your friends every day if you want to. But it ain't going to produce nothing until you plant it. The Great Commission, teaching them everything you have been taught. It's part of making disciples, teaching people everything you've been taught. And that's why everybody can come, they can get saved at the altar, but then they leave and they're back to square one again. For the lack of the understanding of God's word, they get moved, there's emotions taking place. They know they've heard the truth, but they can't carry it out. And that's why we're still talking about discipleship. Your life being used by God. Not only my life on Sunday morning, but your life as well. Depositing God's word into the life of those that don't have understanding. Being a teacher, being a student and teacher of his word. I put a lot of times with a hardened heart, it's easy. These are good points. A lot of times with a hardened heart, it's easy for one not to pay attention because they feel nothing can change their heart. Nothing can change their life. That was me in Victory Outreach Salinas. It was a joke when the message went forth. Don't you know who I am? Legion. That ain't gonna do nothing for me. Who's he fooling? Look at them Holy Ghost rollers thinking they're all this and that. Bunch of hypocrites. I was in that back row. I made a promise and I preached it before. I says, Lord, can't give up the women. Can't give up the marijuana. I'll cut a deal. No more heroin and no more cocaine. Got it? All right. Want to make sure you got it. Because I got a plan. Go 50-50. Let's cut a deal. I never thought the Lord could take that woman part out of my life. Take marijuana out of my life. Oh, forgot one, cigarettes. I was not going to give up cigarettes. It was legal. I could still give a UA clean, smoking all the cigarettes I wanted. I really thought that nothing could change my life. And I believe there's many here this day that don't believe that Jesus can change the condition of your heart. You're too far gone. I would have to say, my friend, what are you doing here then this morning? I would have stayed in bed. If I didn't have the purpose of the Lord in my life, my butt would be in bed right now. Believe that. But I have a purpose that makes me come flying out of a bed. I got a purpose that makes me get with the Lord. I got a purpose that makes me iron my shirt. I got a purpose that gets my glasses and clean. And I have a little thing about every Sunday morning. And my wife tries to come anywhere close to me. I bite. Oh, you wake up. I just came out of prayer. Where you come from? Then leave me alone. I'm with Jesus right now. We talk after the service. I'm with the Lord in the third heaven. She'll come. I love you, love. She comes in my office. I love you. Give me a kiss. I say, behind me, Satan. And she's being nice and lovey-dovey, but time and place, man. It's morning. It's not nighttime. Equila, man. Oh, I just can't even talk to you. I was, oh, my God, here we go again, Lord. Here we go again. Half of my fruits, I was there the rest of the hour picking them all up and everything before, and then coming down, walking like, hey, what's up? What's up, bro? Kidding me, nothing wrong. But, man, I'm with Jesus. I didn't want to be distracted. Even by my old lady, I didn't want to be distracted. I just wanted to be with Jesus. Is there anything wrong with me asking that request of being with Jesus? I mean, my dog is right next to me in its kennel leaving me alone. Too many times we're so simply distracted in our time spent with the Lord. That was me. I really felt I couldn't change. Nothing. Mom couldn't do it. Dad couldn't do it. Money, the mafia, women, the prison system, nothing could change me. Nothing. All the tears of mom and dad put together could change my life. There was only one that could change my life. The only one that I didn't have understanding to. I didn't know what he had for my life, and I surely didn't understand his word. The only one that could change my life was the only one I didn't understand. But he understood everything about me, even the condition of my heart and heart. He understood everything about me. And little by little, I would start getting little glimpses because I was alert in my listening. Hey, man, I just might be able to do that one. Can't do that other one. No way. But I can do that one. And I started to pick and choose. And there's some of you that have been saved for 5, 10 years now, and you're still picking and choose what you want to do. I felt nothing could change my life. I put here in my notes, that was me. We can now allow God's word to remain on the surface of our hearts, exposed to the enemy. Scripture says that the seed fell upon that hardened ground, and the bird came and snatched it right up because it was exposed when it should have been imparted within the heart. It was exposed. Good teaching this morning. I could make an altar call right now, but I still got a couple more pages. Some of you saying, oh, man, that's that listening. That's that listening I'm talking about right there. Second one is rocky hearts. Matthew 13, 5. And the Bible reads, some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because soil was shallow. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 13, 20, 21. This is the part that gives the breakdown of the parable. Amen? And it gives you a breakdown. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word. There he goes, the opportunity again. This condition of the heart is still hearing the word. Refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, amen? Since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble, persecution comes because of the word, that tells us that you will be persecuted because of the word. See, that, Pastor, that's why I don't want to get committed. I'd rather stay with the persecution I got coming on me right now. I don't need godly persecution. I've already gotten used to the devil persecution in my life. Why do I need more persecution? The Bible says that it comes because of the word. They quickly fall away. This is a joyful Christian that hears the word. The man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. You ain't gonna like this next one, but I gotta preach, amen? I put here, this person is the Sunday morning church service goer who is all hyped up, happy, clappy, and even joyful during the church service. Amen? Nothing gonna stop my praise. Woo! Woo! Nothing gonna stop my praise. Oh, really? Oh, really? Lift him up. Lift him up. But then comes Monday morning. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the way up to Saturday. you are totally a different person who's struggling to find joy and victory because of the weekly challenges you have encountered. And even some that have now come from the Word and from all the praise and worshiping you did that Sunday. Yeah, you got to know that in this world there'll be trial and tribulation. You want to be a Christian, you become a target. You become important to Satan. You want to become important to Satan? Become a true Christian. Be the real deal. Then you become important to him as a threat of importance. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its what? Roots." Remember the second edition, the problem was no roots. A tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Wow. Scripture says right there, tells us that we're meant to bear fruit not only in the good times but also in the hard times. We can't be seasonal Christians. But we got to be everyday Christians that bear fruit, whether the heat is on or not, because we have roots by the stream. We spend time with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus allows roots to come forth from his seed, his word. Good stuff here this morning. Spending time with Jesus brings roots to his word. The Bible says, planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. What are you by here this morning? Where are you going after the service? I got two hospital visits to make, amen? Pastor Jamie, you're going with me, by the way. Teaching you the ropes before you go. If you do have roots, where are they going? What are your roots tapped into? Once again, God's word cannot remain on the surface of our hearts. There needs to be a penetration of God's word, of his seed. How? With roots. When there's roots, you'll get the proof. When there's roots, you'll get the fruit. No roots, no fruit. I don't care how much Bible you know. No roots, no fruit. Luke 6, 46, 49. Bible reads, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words," here comes the hearing part, "and hears my word and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock," which represents Jesus. "When a flood came, the torrent struck, that house could not shake it. that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. In other words, with no roots, no penetration, no work involved. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. I put here, obedience brings roots and roots bring fruit. You got to listen here this morning as if you can't wait for me to say amen to go put into practice what you are learning here this morning. Too many want to look popular doing this and this in the world. When you want to really be popular, you want to really have a good name, have roots in Jesus. Be able to be that man that shows your chick, man, I can stand no matter what comes my way. Be able to be that woman that can stand and show your husband, I can stand no matter what comes my way. Or do you fall to pieces over the littlest, dumbest things over and over and over? I would have to say your heart has no roots, no foundation, no Jesus. Pastor, why can't you preach for once a happy message? This is one. Once you get that fruit, you're going to have the joy of the Lord. Once you can't be taken out by the enemy no more, you're going to have the joy of the Lord. It is a great message. I'm taking you somewhere that without God's direction, you'll never get to. Third one, heart of thorns and moving quickly. Matthew 13, 7. Other seed fell among the thorns. Here comes the feet once again falling on this type of hearts, which grew up and choked the plants. Amen. This is the third type of heart, one of thorns. Let's go to the breakdown scripture, Matthew 13, 22. This gives you a breakdown on this one. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. We need to know, I put here, that the thorns were already there for a long time before the seed hit, before the seed fell. On the outside, it looks like we all look good. It's even Stephen on the outside. Amen? But on the inside, there's some of you right now consumed by worries in the world, and I got mine, but mine are based on Jesus. That's still not biblically correct because he still tells us not worry. I've gotten much better in this area, but because I'm a true shepherd, I'm still very concerned in time to the point of worrying. How is this going to happen? Within your heart, you may not be able to see it with the eye, but as your heart is consumed with thorns that choke. So it's a heart, it's the size of a fist, it's full of thorns. It can't be seen, it's under what's taking place in your life. And then the word of the preacher of the Lord falls on something that's already consumed with thorns. So this word gets in there and it's like outnumbered. It's outnumbered. Because the Bible says that it refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's why, once again, discipleship, life groups is very important. It's like throwing a piece of meat in a pond full of piranhas. That's what types of hearts some of us still got. So when the word of the Lord comes, it wants to take it out quick, because the enemy knows what the word of the Lord, the seed of the word of the Lord, is capable of doing in one's life. There's plenty of proof in the church that is able to transform one's life. Verse 22 says, 22. The seed falling among the thorns. The thorns were already there. In every heart I've spoken upon, the condition of the hardened heart was already there when the seed fell. Of the stony place, them stony places were already there when the seed fell. And here we find out that when the seed fell among the thorns, that the thorns were already there. The worries of this life, which are many I put here, many of them. Deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth is a good thing, but if you're using it incorrectly, it is able to deceive your life. The deceitfulness of wealth. I put a lot of times we feel that money is the answer to all our worries. How many still keep it real? Man, if I only had this money, man, I could do this and do this, and I would have no more problems. Mentiras. If I could only get a pay raise. A lot of times we feel that money is the answer to all of our worries. I put here, Jesus is the answer to all our worries. Matthew 6:24. Bible says, two masters. You would think one is God and the other one is the devil. You're wrong. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Who's your master? Who's your daddy? You could have a minimum paying job and still allow your life to be deceived through a minimum paying job. You could have a high-paying job, and you could still be deceived with the finances you acquire through that job you have. The Bible says you cannot serve both God and money. Makes money a god. Makes money a master. You cannot allow money to master your life. Many people would chase money their whole existence, life here on earth. And the other scripture says they forfeit their soul, their life. You cannot serve both God and money. You're going to have to make a decision here this day if you want to guard your heart. The deceitfulness of money. Money is good when you operate correctly as the Word of God tells us to operate correctly so that we may be able to have hearts that are guarded where the devourer does not come in and take what belongs to us, the Lord, and to the lost and the bound. Some of you are still not paying your tithes, and you know you're wrong. You're still not paying your tithes. But you want to bear fruit in abundance. You want breakthrough in your marriage, breakthrough in your children's lives. You do not guard your heart when you don't give correctly. And if you're not giving correctly or not even giving at all, you find it very hard to guard your heart. You want to start anew, afresh? Become a tither. Take that away from the enemy. Allow it to be used for God's glory and God's honor. You want the hands of the enemy off your life? Because money is a master, and it will master you. It will deceive you if you allow it to. But it's meant to bless you and others through you. You can make all the money I put here you want and still bear no fruit. And still bear no fruit. And still bear no fruit that is spiritual. Matthew 13:8, going to the last part of soil, amen? Matthew 13:8, the Bible says, still other seed, this is where we want to get to, fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160, 30 times what was sown. Let's go to the breakdown, Matthew 13:23. But the seed falling on good soil, soil was already good when that seed fell, refers to someone who hears the word. Here comes that understand and understands it. Ooh, my Jesus. And understands it. They've been to Vetti. They've been in a life group for months and months. They're running their own life group now. They're catching it. They understand it. They see the fruit of their obedience to the word of the Lord that has now taken root and able to produce 30, 60, 100, and so much more that was sown. Hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces. You want to be a producer in the kingdom of God? Not only within your own life, not only within your own family, but within the lost and the bound and making disciples out of all nations. Do you want to produce a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown? To me, I put represents the honest and good heart. Man, I used to be the devil himself. I can say today before the audience, I have an honest heart. God has changed my heart. And even in my Hulk Hogan turning green times, man, I still have an honest heart. I can't cross up people. I can't do it. Because I know God sees all, knows all, and I need him every day. Even though I've reached the part of having good soil. I've seen many men, women, and youth be in good soil and go all the way back to a hardened heart. I've seen it. I've seen where they take their eyes off the Lord and they stop hearing the message because they're doing so good at their job where the finances, the God of money chokes them out. I've seen it happen. And it's happening with a few in the church right now. That job is a God. And you're wondering why you're feeling uneasy. I've seen it. Represents the honest and good heart. That's caught up in souls, not money. Yes, money is needed. Yes, we need a break alone right now. But for souls. That's why I want to break this loan. For people's lives to be transformed, to hear the gospel, so we can get that 100-member rehab for men and women in the suburb. Amen. That's why I worry. I worry for souls not to have a bank account, because I ain't got one. But I got Jesus. I got roots. I got his word. I'm a preacher of 2017 of what God has placed in my heart to give to his people. Represents the person who does not allow their minds and thoughts to wander all while the word of God is being preached. Ooh. I've lost some of you long time ago. You're like, what? Lost you. Represents the person that does not allow their minds and thoughts to wander off while the word of God is being preached. If I was to show you my notes of 20 years ago, do you know I couldn't even spell that good, write that good, my punctuation? Do you know by studying and writing, do you know I can write pretty good now? I even correct Sister Tammy sometimes. Amen. That's pretty heavy there. Say, ooh. I find a little glitch. Tammy, you forgot the period. Or Tammy, change that. Change that. Just let her know who daddy is. Amen? A little check, check. I got lost right there. No, I don't want him peaching off. Oh, my notes of 20 years ago. I got them. I got stacks of notebooks. When pastor never said to get a notebook and a pen, but I seen the main people in the front row taking notes, I said, I'm going to take notes. I got notes that are so weird. Now I know why I'm a weird preacher, man. I got some, man, where it was weird, baby. That my understanding when Pastor Irwin would be preaching, the stuff I would come up with. Weird. You got to start somewhere. To me, this good soil heart represents a person that bears fruit. Can you testify that you're bearing fruit that belongs to Jesus this day? Or do you got to go ask somebody, what do you think? Do you think I have fruit? Don't have any if you got to go ask somebody. What do you think, brother? You know, I come to you because you're such a good brother. You're neutral. Be honest. Do I got any godly fruit? Well, one of the commandments says, thou shalt not lie. No, you don't. Because I want to keep my fruit. Represents a person that bears fruit. Represents a person that reaches out to reproduce himself in saving others. Once again, the life groups, discipleship, that's what the fruit's for. Fruits of the Spirit given by God. His word says in the book of John, abide in me. It's our part. Abide in me means listen to what is being said right now. Abide in me and I will abide in you. And you will bear much fruit, he says. And this is how they will know that you are my disciple. How do we abide in Jesus? First of all, we got to be hearers of the word. Second of all, we got to put into practice the word that we have heard. And this is the way the Lord abides in our heart, to come in and cleanse and wash us and to prepare the soils of our hearts, for the roots may take deep root, so when the storms and tragedy and all these things hit, we have a heart not only guarded by ourselves but by God, because now he's in the center of our heart. But too many times the word of the Lord stays at the surface of our hearts, where the enemy's able to come and snatch it right up. God is wanting, through his word, to produce his will in and through your life. Genesis says that every seed produces after its own kind. You plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple seed. You plant an orange, you're going to get an orange. You breed dogs, you're going to get dogs back, not cats. Here, God's word is wanting to produce who he is. His seed right now is going forth and wants to produce his will for your life. Lord speaking right now again. That's what the Lord is trying to accomplish right now. Your will replaced with his will. He's right now, his word, which is seed, is falling on your heart no matter what the condition is. Because he's trying to get you to the good soil to produce who he is. And when you're able to produce who he is, it will come always in the 30, 60, and 100-fold. You should want to and pray to produce God's will in and through your life. You got to want to desire God's will for your life. And when you're bearing fruit, the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, you can't get that from your boss. You can't get that from your boyfriend and girlfriend. It's superficial. It's at the surface of the heart. Only God can give you patience, love, and peace, and long-suffering, which are the fruits of the Spirit, his will for your life to have, to demonstrate and show who he is in and through your life. His will be done in your life in exchange for a hardened heart, a stony heart, a heart all wrapped up in money, getting choked out all the time because of money. I'm humbled right now driving that old blue van again. Amen. When I had a brand new one of leather seats, all the bells and whistles. And the front tire goes a little bit like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. first squiggle's kind of hard, and then now I get in the car like it's brand. It's just to carry me from point A to point B. We're working on the trucks again. We've worked a lot on them trucks. I mean, they were free. They're not free no more. I like the red one. Then I like the white one. I'm back to the white one. Amen. But it's got little checkered flags on the bottom. I said, that got to come. I'm humble, but I ain't that humble. I ain't darn around with that little checkered flags on the bottom. Little four-cylinder. And yesterday I said, I feel it with this little white truck. This is going to be my vehicle. It was given by for free from David's ex-boss. Amen. They ended up firing him because of the word of God. He had ears what the Spirit of the Lord was saying, but I think I'm going to stay with that little white truck. Just skip all that, put it in a bed. I'm just going to go buy a thing and put it in the back. It's not going to be no good for the winter because it's rear-wheel drive. Amen. But I didn't pay $30,000, $40,000 for it. Amen. I got it for free. Miguel, I mean, dang it, I didn't want to mention nobody's name today. Got it for free. So when it slides around a little bit, praise the Lord, it's free. It's free. I ain't in bondage with this truck. Hey, there goes Pastor Charlie. That's right. That's right. That's right. Better watch out. Here I come. Put here, we're living in times where most no longer want to pay the price. Willing to give 100% of their energy, effort, strength, time, and possessions. Every seed produces after its own kind. I want to produce why Jesus saved me to produce. That's my desire. And it represents giving my life, my possessions, my money, my everything. It calls for everything, just as the enemy called for everything. And I believe here this Sunday morning, there's some that are in that hardened type of heart. You're in the process right now. You find yourself at a rocky place right now. You find yourself being choked out. You're just thinking money, money, money all the time. This job, I get this job. If I go to school and I do this and I get this money. And Jesus is nowhere in the equation to get to good soil. There's a man that was complaining. I'm not going to give up his name. He's going to know I'm talking about him. Was complaining that he didn't have no money. He's one of those working unto the Lord right now, right? And, well, his ex just signed off. That's him being with us just for a little bit over a year. His ex just signed off that he don't have to pay child support on the last child now for the next. I was about to ask his name how many years it was, but I would give him up. I think it's about 8-10 years more of child support that he would owe. Through the courts and everything. And I says, and you're complaining that you ain't got no money? God just wrote off through the courts where you don't owe child support no more. That's money. You just can't see it. Sometimes we just can't see what the Lord is doing. Where I got to break down the parable. Dude, that represents about a lot of thousands. What part don't you get? Well, I don't have no money, man. Go look at my pockets, man. I got a good $30, $40 in my wallet. How do I know? Because me and child, we're counting dollar bills right now. That I know my little boy's going to come and ask for the cook-off that they're having afterwards. I says, dude, your ex should be still hating your guts. She should get every penny out of you. Well, I just feel bad because I ain't got no money. Dude, open your ears. You didn't have to touch money. As you were working unto the Lord, you were getting paid 30, 60, 100-fold because that's the way the Lord operates.